This is Fresh Air. Star Trek Into Darkness is the 12th motion picture based on Gene Roddenberry's 1960s science fiction TV series, but it's the second to star a new group of actors in the roles of Captain James T. Kirk, Mr. Spock, and their crew. J.J. Abrams returns as director, and Benedict Cumberbatch, the star of Sherlock, plays a villain to be named later. Critic David Edelstein has this review.
Before I tell you about J.J. Abrams' second Star Trek film, with its youngish new Starship Enterprise crew, let me say that just because I've seen every episode of the original Star Trek and The Next Generation and most of the spin-off series and every movie, I'm not a Trekkie, meaning someone who goes to conventions or speaks Klingon or greets people with a Vulcan salute. But hey, even Barack Obama can give the Vulcan salute. It's mainstream. We live, thanks to the internet, in a fan culture. We can all get up to speed on anything quickly. We can all appreciate the new Star Trek Into Darkness, not just on its own terms, but as a kind of cinematic dialogue between Star Trek's past and present. The first thing Abrams did in his first Star Trek picture was not so much wipe the slate as alter it. A ship from the future radically changed the early lives of Kirk, Spock, and the others. Presto, Kirk and Spock are the same, but different. The fatherless Kirk is a hothead. Spock is having an affair with Uhura. Things change. Now, in his second Star Trek, Abrams and his screenwriters establish a kind of conversation across time with Nicholas Meyer's 1982 Star Trek II: The Wrath of Khan, the one with aging Ricardo Montalban chasing aging William Shatner around the galaxy, declaiming like Ahab. It's the best of all the movies, the one that found the ideal balance between wonky sci-fi and nautical adventure. Abrams number two isn't nearly as good. The plotting is clunky, the action more relentless and violent than I'd like. There are no pauses for ideas. There are too many self-deflating quips. The movie doesn't hold up to post-viewing scrutiny, which matters if you want to see it again. But I found it so much fun to see the variations on an old theme that I had a good time. I surrendered to the bombardment. The new cast is still disconcerting. By the end of the original Trek, the actors were a collection of paunches and hairpieces, while these guys are so trim and tender-skinned, they're like the baby Looney Tunes. But the villain is on a different level. The studio doesn't want me to utter his name, though I'll tell you, it's not Voldemort. You probably know who it is. In any case, he's played by Benedict Cumberbatch, who made Sherlock Holmes his own and makes this character his too. Even without makeup, Cumberbatch looks alien, raven-like in repose, with a preternatural stillness, his eyes so wide apart they could have twice the peripheral vision of humans. He's beyond pain, beyond good and evil, a Nietzschean Superman. Midway through, he lets himself be captured by Chris Pine's vengeful Captain Kirk, who confronts him in a jail cell on board the Enterprise.
Let me explain what's happening here. You are a criminal. I watched you murder innocent men and women. I was authorized to end you. And the only reason why you are still alive is because I am allowing it. So shut your mouth.
Captain, you're going to punch me again over and over till your arm weakens. Clearly you want to, so tell me. Why did you allow me to live?
We all make mistakes.
No. I surrendered to you because, despite your attempt to convince me otherwise, you seem to have a conscience, Mr. Kirk. If you did not, then it would be impossible for me to convince you of the truth. 2317. 4611. Coordinates not far from Earth. If you want to know why I did what I did, go and take a look.
Give me one reason why I should listen to you.
I can give you 72. And they're on board your ship, Captain. They have been all along.
72? That's the number of bodies on board in suspended animation that the villain feels protective of, and you probably don't know what I'm talking about. I have to be circumspect. Too many plot details would provoke what I call the wrath of Comic-Con, and I'm not like the bad guy here, supernaturally impervious. I do have quibbles. Chris Pine's Kirk might be too much of a pretty boy, and Zachary Quinto's Spock seems one quarter rather than half Vulcan, his human emotions too much on the surface. The whole Enterprise is staffed with wiseacres and exhibitionists. At least the women are more present. Zoe Saldana's Uhura kicks some butt, and blonde Alice Eve has potential as a character from another Star Trek movie, only younger and hotter. I went with it. It was, as Leonard Nimoy's Mr. Spock would deadpan, fascinating. Familiar lines have peculiar contexts. Alliances are muddled. The narrative never stops twisting. It can be thrilling to watch familiar characters be strange, if only to let you return to the originals with fresh eyes. Star Trek Into Darkness is a mixed enterprise, but hail to the prospect of seeing it boldly go where no Trek has gone before.
David Edelstein is film critic for New York Magazine. You can download podcasts of our show on our website, freshair.npr.org. And you can follow us on Twitter at NPR Fresh Air and on Tumblr at nprfreshair.tumblr.com. Fresh Air's executive producer is Danny Miller. Our interviews and reviews are produced and edited by Amy Sallet, Phyllis Myers, Henry Baldonado, Sam Brigger, Lauren Krenzel, John Myers, John Sheehan, Heidi Simon, Teresa Madden, and Yowei Shaw. WHYY's chief content officer is Christine Dempsey. Roberta Shurrock directs the show. I'm Terry Gross.